Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ira Kadesh, is daf Gimel. And let's just review what we've been talking about. We're talking about the reason why a sukkah l'mala mi'asrim amah is possible. We had three basic approaches, and there was one approach which wasn't defined by the Gemara. So we had the beginning approach was Rabbah, who said that, look, you've got to be aware of the fact that you're sitting in a sukkah l'mala mi'asrim amah, the ayin is not shaletet. And then we had Rabbi Zeira's approach that you need to be able to be yoshev in the tzel of the schach, and if it's a malav yesrim ama, then if it's only a sukkah mitzumtzemet, then you're not going to be sitting in the tzel of the schach. You'll be sitting in the tzel of the tfanes. And then we had the Rava approach, which was the question of dirat kva, and he understood that the shivat yamim is a din that the sukkah has to be a dirat arai, and that it's a reference to the shear of the height, not to all aspects, which we discussed a little bit yesterday. And in any event, we had one additional shita, which we were guessing, at least Tosef was guessing, maybe the idea is that something that is a little bit too small and too high, it gets a din of a chicken coop, because it's the way that people don't live, but they do put in chickens. So only possible for sukkah. Okay, in any event, we spoke about the interesting story about Eleni Amalka and about the way that her kids were with her, and therefore the Rabbanan didn't, the Rabbi Yehuda says, if the Rabbanan didn't tell her anything about needing to fit, so why would that be? Unless, basically, I'm right that it doesn't matter how high it is. And so we went through the various issues about what shape that circle would have to be if Rabbi Yehuda is bringing it as a raya. Just as an aside, Rashi is concerned by the fact that how would her seven kids fit in the Kitoniut Shabbat? And if the seven kids wouldn't fit in the Kitoniut Shabbat, so then how could you be bringing a raya, according to Rav Chanan bar Rabba, how could you bring a raya Rabbi Yehuda's not making sense, because if you can't fit in the Shiva Bonim, so then the reason they didn't say anything was because the Bonim were obviously in the outside room, and therefore they did have a kosher sukkah, because after all, we would start getting into the issue of how big the sukkah is. So Rashi indeed says that that Enochinami, it would be a problem, according to Rav Chanan. Tosfos says that Rashi here, he disagrees with, because actually, if the sukkah was even a mile long, which is plenty of room for plenty of kids, but it's not the correct shear on all sides, that would be the problem. So we had, if it would be Shiva Tfachim, so then maybe it wasn't Rochav Shiva Tfachim. The kids were sitting along, but if it wasn't Rochav Shiva Tvachim, then Rabbi Yehuda would be bringing a good raya from the fact that the Chachomim didn't say anything, even according to Rav Chanan bar Rabba, because it would have to be seven on all sides. And therefore, the Kitonias would still have room for all of the kids, even if they weren't the correct shear in the width. So it could have been a raya. Okay, anyway, let's move on today. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, as far as the halacha is concerned, we got into the conversation yesterday about whether there might be a machlokas about the Heksher Sukkah, whether the Heksher Sukkah is Arba al Arba, or the Heksher Sukkah is just big enough for the person, that would be Shesh al Shesh, plus his Shulchan, which Shish al Shish, I should say, with the Shulchan gives us Shiva al Shiva, and maybe we, because we entertained that, so now the Gemara wants to make it very clear. Omer Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak lahalacha tzricha shitei machzeket rosha v'ruba v'shulchanu. That actually the correct shear is the shear of the sheva al sheva. Now, lemaisa Rashi keeps bringing up the shear of sheva al sheva plus a mashahu in a couple of the sugyas here. Everybody's concerned by that because it doesn't say anywhere anything about Sheva Sheva with a Mashu, which we'll discuss a little bit later, maybe to think about possibilities in Rashi. In any event, Amalei Rababa, but who's the author of the Shita that we have to have Rosh of Rubo Vishulchano? Now, gentlemen, I'm going to ask you, in order to understand this next sugya without it becoming difficult because you're not familiar with the sugya, please turn to Daf Chof Ches and let's take a look at the Mishnah there so that it becomes very clear what the Gemara is referring to. We don't have to explain it. Okay, so there we have a Mishnah Chof Ches that goes like this. Mishaya Roshov Rubo Besukah V'Shulchano B'toch HaBayit. A guy is sitting in a sukkah, and he's by the door of the sukkah, and the shulchan that he's eating on is actually extends into his house. Now, whether the extension into the house is important or just the extension outside of the sukkah, let's assume it's just the fact that the shulchan is outside of the sukkah, because that's the way the Rishonim quote the halacha. Rashi seems to make a fuss about the fact that it's in the house. And we'll discuss that also as we go through the sugya. But in any event, Beit Shammai says, look, you that would be possible. Beit Hillel is Marsha. So Beit Hillel says to Beit Shammai, well, wasn't there a story, that the Zikney Beit Shammai and the Zikney Beit Hillel went together to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranit, and there he was during circus, and he was sitting, Rosho v'rubo b'suka v'shulchano b'toch habayit. Nobody said anything to him, so this stuff is talking about saying things to people as well, right? Nobody said anything to him. Why did they say anything to him? Rulam Beit Shammai, what are you kidding? Misham Raya, of course they said something to him. They told him, well, if that's the way you've been eating in the sukkah, you were never once Mekayim a sukkah in your whole life. You put that in your pipe and smoke it. So, Loki Amta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha. Now, note again, because we're going to be talking about it in the Gemara, note that it seems to be discussing the way the person is sitting in the sukkah, which doesn't have anything to do with the size of the sukkah, and therefore it should have nothing to do with our sugya, because our sugya is totally focused on the proper size of the sukkah. Here it's just a question of whether we're goes there that maybe since your shulchan is outside of the sukkah, you may end up leaning out, eating over your shulchan, and that way you'll end up not eating in the sukkah, because after all, most of the stuff is on the table, and you're generally note to go where the table is. And what does that have to do with the size of the sukkah? So as the Gemara is going to come out, if you take a look at another diak in the Mishnah, that will become evident. Note that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel argue about Beit Shammai poslin u'Beit Hillel makshirin. You cannot use the word posel on the way a person does something. You could say eino yotze, but how can you say posel? Posel what? What are they being posel? It's a ridiculous statement. Makshirin. What do you mean makshirin? Is that the point of makshirin? Something they should say yotza. That's the Gemara's diak, that there's something hidden in this Mishnah, and that actually there's a machlokas about the hechsher of the sukkah. You see? Okay, so now you see the Mishnah. It's going to be very easy for us to just follow the Gemara. So, says the Gemara, okay, so he asked him, so what, you're going like Beit Shammai over here? And he said, absolutely. Elakaman, Vazidin, what else? Of course it's like Beit Shammai, from which we conclude that this is one of the places that we would paskin like Shammai, Beit Shammai. Fine. The other way of saying it was that Rabbi Abba said to him, who told you that? And he said, look, man, this is Beit Shammai Shita, and don't you dare question it. Al tazuz bimena. Definitely that's the halacha. Okay. Anyway, Matkif Lod Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak, what in the world gives you the sense that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are arguing about how large a sukkah is? The Mishnah over there doesn't talk about how large the sukkah is. The Mishnah over there talks about where you are eating in the sukkah, for God's sake. Dilma b'sukkah gedola pligi. Now, that may be a very big sukkah, and it's just talking about his sitting at the door of the sukkah, and his table extends into the house. We're over there, Beit Shammai says, Gazvina Chemi Mashikacha Shulchano. We're concerned that he may end up following the table and therefore have his head outside of the sukkah when he eats. And Beit Hillel says, no, we're not kosher. And look, read the Mishnah for heaven's sakes. It's obvious that it's talking about. It says, Misha Yaro Shovarubo Visuka Vishukano Bitocha Bayit. The problem is where the table was. The problem, nothing to do with where the sukkah size was. Beit Shammai Poslin, If the issue is what you claim it is, how big the sukkah is, then why does it say where the table is? It should simply say, does the sukkah hold the table or does it not? Is it big enough to hold your table? Is it not big enough to hold your table? I understand what the issue is. So how are you bringing up the question of sukkah katana? No, wait a minute. Of course they argue about a sukkah katana, man. The sukkah katana lo plige, the brightest says beferish that they do argue about a sukkah katana. Matanya, machzeket rosh haverubo v'shulchano kashera. If the sukkah only holds big enough to fit your table in together with the rest of you, and that would be talking about you sit like people do, you know, rosh haverubo, we wouldn't make any sense of those words. If you're sitting at the table, how can it only hold rosh haverubo? Do we cut the rest of your body off? So we're talking about over the way they used to eat, where, you know, you might have most of your body in the sukkah, but still your feet would be sticking out of the sukkah because you're lying as you're eating on that couch. But anyway, if there's enough for most of you plus the table, so then it would be kosher. So Rebbe Omer, no, Rebbe says you need 4 amos by 4 amos. This is what we brought up yesterday. And this note that it says over Yerosh HaVeruba V'Shulchano, now what's troublesome is that there's another braita where Rebbe says, same thing he says over here, sukkah has to be 4 amot by 4 amot, but that's fine. And if it doesn't have 4 amot by 4 amot, then it's possible. But look at this. Here the Chachamim say, afilu inam achseket elav rusho verubo. Let's say a word about Shulchanah. It says, all you need is for you to fit, most of you to fit. Okay, now how do you explain that? Ilu shulcho lo katani, shulchano lo katani. So then we have 2 braises that argue with each other about the shita of the Tanakama. Therefore, says the Gemara, there's only one solution, that indeed it's a machlokas, whether you need to have the shulchan as part of the shir of the sukkah. Lav shmamina. HaBeit Shammai, HaBeit Hillel, exactly. So what are you telling me? There's no machlokas about a sukkah katana? Of course there is. It's in the Braita. Omer Marzut, what do you mean in the Braita? Can't you read the Mishnah right? It's in the Mishnah, for God's sake. Go back to the Mishnah, okay? Omer Marzut, Masnisinami Daika. It says, Beit Shammai poslin and Beit Hillel machshirin. Now, did you ever hear anybody use the word poslin or machshirin on the way something is done? It should have just said, im itav, your definition of the Mishnah is correct. It should have said, Beit Shammai omrim lo yatsa, you're not yotzei if the shulchan is outside of the sukkah. And Beit Hillel says, you are yotzei. What are they talking about? Potzlinu makshirin? So, okay, but I mean, it does say, I mean, look, we were medayik, mishaya. It describes a situation. It doesn't describe the size of the sukkah. So Elakasha Mishaya. Therefore, we must conclude that the Mishnah is being merames to us that there are 2 completely different levels to this machlokas. That's the pshat. But tarte plige, they argue in both situations. They argue about a sukkah katana, and they argue about a sukkah gedola. And what we need to do is insert a little piece into the Mishnah, because obviously there was a transition here between the first part, which was talking about a situational problem, and the second part, which was talking about a measurement problem, which is an etzem problem in the sukkah. So here's how to read the Mishnah. Okay, got that. Mishayaro shovru ba v'sukkah v'shulchanah b'toch habayit. Now, insert these words, please. Beit Shammai omrim lo yatsa, u'Beit Hillel omrim yatsa. How about a sukkah that doesn't hold the correct size? It only has a size of Rosh HaVerubo. What about then? Okay, that's the end of the insertion. Now go back to the Mishnah. Beit Shammai poslin u'Beit Hillel machshirin. There you go. So we have 2 different machlokasin in this Mishnah. By the way, there's a big machlokas we've shown you about whether these 2 machlokasin are actually interdependent, and that the psul of a sukkah that doesn't hold Rosh HaVerubo v'shulchano is precisely because of the gezerah, or whether the din of the shir is completely unrelated to the gezerah. The gezerah is a different issue. Even if you have a very big sukkah, we're worried you're going to put your head out of it. That's a derabbanan, but the shir of the sukkah is a d'oraisa. And the question over there about what the shir would be is how to understand the besukot teshvu, okay? If you understand teshvu like Beit Hillel, It means sit in the sukkah. How much room do you need to sit in a sukkah? 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim. What about if you understand teshvu to mean in a way that will enable you to like live normally and so on, to at least to be able to eat in your sukkah, so teshvu, to be able to do an act of yeshiva, okay, add the table. But what if you learn teshvu means teshvu kein tadoru, live in the sukkah the way you would move into a house? You're telling me you would move into a house of 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim? That I'd like to see, maybe as an outhouse, but certainly not as a sukkah. So therefore, according to Rebbe, it would be 4 by 4. So basically, it's a question of how to understand the pasuk itself. According to this, it would be a deraisa. Okay, let's continue then. Now, apparently, says the Gemara, this issue of whether a house has to be 4 amot by 4 amot is a universal question. There's many different things that a house has to be defined as a house for. So let's think about those things. We've got things like a mezuzah. Oh, what makes a house a house? How big does a house have to be for a mezuzah? What makes a house to be able for us to learn our Mishnah in the Goyim about it tomorrow, about a house that has a nega? Is that a house? Is it not a house? Is it a house that got the din of Erevin, that it needs an Erev, or that you could put the Erev in the house? Uh-oh, looks like somebody's planning a getaway here. So is that considered to be a house? And there's many, many issues. We're going to see what's considered to be a house. Now, you would think that the machlokas over here has universal application. If Rebbe holds a house is only a house if it's 4 by 4, then he would hold that all of these things have to be 4 by 4. But if you would hold that it's 7 by 7, so maybe any house could be 7 by 7. Now, obviously, the way that we just explained it, if we're talking about specifically the teshuvu of Sukkot, that is nonsense, because that would be a very special application, would not be part of the general definition of a house. And indeed, in the end, that's exactly how the Gemara is going to come out. That do not confuse the din of the sukkah with the universal definition of what is a house. But at the beginning, the Gemara thought that all of this list that insists that a house has to be 4 by 4 would only be true according to Rebbe. It's going to, at the end, admit that, no, that's not the case. Okay, so here are the things that the Braita lists, all of which require a house to be defined properly as 4 by 4. So who is the author of this Braita, asked the Gemara? Mantan lo d'tan rabbanan. Any house that doesn't have 4 amot by 4 amot, forget it, does not need a mezuzah. Okay, if it has a roof, it does not need a ma'akeh around the roof. This is not a house. It says, in all of these cases we're going to see, it says in the Torah specifically the word house, and that was going to be our diuk, but we'll get to that. It is not going to be makabel tuma negoyim, because it's not called a house. If you sold it and it was a house in a batei orei chayma, where you have a special halacha, remember that the guy has 1 year to buy the house back, and after that it's nechlat, it's never yotzi mershus. So again, in Yovel, that's the special din of batei orei chayma. This is not a house, even if it's in batei orei chayma. It is basically just an open field for all intents and purposes. It doesn't have any value as a house. Furthermore, if you just built this house and you didn't have a chance to be mechanech this house, you still are not going to be able to return from the Orche Milchama when the Kohen says, anybody who built a house and didn't have a chance to be mechanech, no. That's not the case over here, because this is not called a house. And Ein Ma'arvin Bo, you cannot make it, it doesn't participate in an Erev at all, because it's not considered to be an extra dayar. And you cannot, as we'll see, put the Erev in it if there are other people there that do, as we'll see in a moment, that both of them are negay the dinam of Erev. Ein mishtatfim bo, so let's imagine a case where, let me just remind you again of the dinam of Erev and shitav mavoz. Erev is a halacha that if you have 2 different homes by 2 different people in the same chatzar, or more obviously, then because one of them is a commons and the other homes are private, so we made a takana that we need to have something that combines all of those homes into one home and allows you therefore to always be in a common area, and not that there's a definition of one place that's private and one place that's common. Fine. Is this home considered to be another home in the Chatzar? No, because it does not have the shame of a bayit that means that there's another diur in the Chatzar. What if there's three homes, and this is one of the homes? Could I put the Erev into this home? No, because it's not a home. And the home that we put the Erev into, that's the home that integrates everybody in this home. Well, this is not a home. So it can't be done for that. Now, let's remember what Shituf Mevo'ot is, where you have different Chatzerot, each one of which has two homes, and they all open up into a common alleyway that goes out into Rosh HaRavim. That's called a Mavui. And over there, you need to have a different type of Erev that's called a Shutaf, a Shutafut. And that needs to be put inside one of the Chatzerot, but not in one of the homes, but inside one of the Chatzerot that opens up into the Shutaf. It works on the same basic way that all of us are considered to be members of the same basic Rishus. So in this case, it would also not be something that you would be mishtate for, because if you only have a house and the chatzar of that house plus this shack opens up into a mavui, it's not called a chatzar. And therefore, it's not enough to be make a chiyav of shutafut if there's one other chatzar there, because the minimum of shutafut is a requirement of two chatzerot, that chatzar defined as two homes. This is not a home. In the event that there are a lot of chatzerot and you did make a shituf, you can't put en menichim bo eruv. You can't put the eruv in the house. However, even though you can't put the eruv in the house, you can, however, use this house, as we'll see, as the place where you put the shituf, because it doesn't say anything about not using it for the shituf. We'll talk about that in a moment. So remember that your city is defined as 2,000 amot from the end of the city. Now, suppose you have another city, you have another house in the middle of two cities. So then the halacha is that you, if you have 70 amot plus a little bit more, then that is considered to be an extension of the city, and you draw the 2,000 amos around that additional house. Now, suppose you have two cities that are near each other, and you've got one house in the middle that is within the 70 plus and 70 plus of both cities. So then it makes it all one gigantic city, and the tchum is drawn around both of these cities, fine. But if the house that's between them is this less than Arba Amos or Arba Amos, it's not called a house for that either. Another issue is that if brothers inherit a house like this, or Shutafim own a house like this, there is no din of chaluka that they're able to force the other party to split, because it's simply not big enough to split. Anyway, all of those things, is that only true according to Rebbe and not the Rabbanan? No, says the Gemara. Even the Rabbanan who say over here, when it comes to the sukkah, you don't need 4x4. That's only le'inyan sukkah. At kan lo kamer Rabbanan alta mele le'inyan sukkah, which a sukkah, remember, is a dirat kva. It makes more sense to say at kan lo kamer Rabbanan hacha. Here, when it comes into our sugya, the Rabbanan suggested that you absolutely do not need 4, but that's because the Torah didn't insist that it be a normal house. It says, get out of your normal house. Okay, so one of the ways of getting out of your normal house is that you live in this tiny little tent, and that's also something you do when you're camping out. But when it's talking about a Beit Diras, so over there where you do need a real house, is defined as Diras Kvahu, even the Rabbanan Amoda, the Eid Pe Arba Amot Al Arba Amot, if it's 4x4, then people can live in a very small house like that. But Elo, if it's less than that, Lo Dai Rebbe Yinche, nobody can actually move permanently into a tiny house like that. Anyway, let's go through the reasons why all of the above cases require a real house. Omar Mar. Why is that? That's because in each one of those cases, the Torah mentions specifically a house. It says, Al mezuzot beitecha, house. Is the house? No. It says, Ki tivneh bayit chadash, and then what the halacha is about the idea of what the din is for the halachas of Mechiras Habayis and so on. So then that means that each one of these things is included. And in which case, when we say it's not good enough to be mechayevet, that's the din of a ma'ake as well. Ki tivne bayit chadash, make sure you put a ma'ake legagecha. And then when we're talking about negoyim, what does it say? It says, uba asher lo habayit, the guy who has the house comes and he tells the kohen, kanega nir liba bayit, specifies bayit. When we're talking about the bayit in the ir choma, what does it say? Ki yimkor beit moshav, and it's be ir choma. And what about the din of the person who's chosu bimarchei milchama? Mia isha asher bana bayit chadash. So that means if it doesn't fit the minimal size of a bayit, it's not going to be chayev in any of these things or be part of these halachas. So that all of that I understand. Okay, but that only covers those things where it says the word bayit. How about the rest of it? Ein ma'arvin bo, ein mishtatvin bo, ein menichim bo eruv. I mean, that's only derabbanan. So what's the reason for that? No, that's because the whole point of these things are that they are extra diurin. And the rabbanan said that we're going to make a place that it integrates everybody into one happy home. Well, this ain't no house, so it can't be a happy home. So therefore, it just makes sense in terms of the Gzeirat Rabbanan that it's not included. And therefore, we would not, that my time lo chazir ladira. But wait a minute. It says over here, you can't put the Erev in it. Mashba, but you could put the Shituv in it. How come you could put the Shituv of the Mavui into this house if you can't integrate everybody into this house because it's not a house? How do you explain that? Of a sheet of menichimbo, my timer. Well, that's obvious because a sheet of does not work by making everybody into one big happy house. It works by making everyone into one big happy chutzer. And therefore, a sheet of is put in a chutzer anyway. So this is not worse than the chutzer. You know, take away the walls of this little closet and it's just part of the chutzer. So if you're not going to call it a house, then it's like the chutzer, the logora. It's not any worse than just putting into the chutzer itself, which opens up into the mavui. And that is very clear. The tanan, eruvei chatzerot are in the chutzer. And the shituv of a mavui is in the mavui. And we ask, what? That's ridiculous. Eruvei chatzeros bechatzer? That's not true. Eruvei chatzeros are not in the chatzer. It says, hanoten eruvo, if somebody puts his eruv in a place that is not suitable for the Erev, so then it's not going to be a good Erev. Therefore, if he puts it in, let's say, the place, the Beit Shar, which is the place where the Shomer sits that watches over the Chatzar, it's not going to be any good. He puts it onto a patio. He puts it onto a porch, an entry porch. That is not called an Erev, Eino Erev. And if somebody sleeps, he lives in that place, he lives on the porch, he lives on the patio, that's not called a diur. He's not going to ask anybody, that's obvious. But anyway, it says over here, you put your Erev in the chatzer. So therefore, the correct way of reading this is, Eruvei chatzeros belong in a bayit shebechatzer. The shitufei mavod belong in one of the chatzers of the mavod. That's the meaning. And if that's the case, this is not worse than a chatzar in the mavui. So it makes a great deal of sense. Eino simoto ibur ben shtei ayorot. Now, why is that? Because that's really weird. Because the din is that if you have a hide, a hunter's hide, that is outside of the city, and or a bourgeoning can also be not necessarily for hunters. It could be for somebody who's a watchman on the fields in the area, and he's got a place to hang out. But that is considered to be an extension of the town. So therefore, if you're on safari and you've got a hunter's hide that is near your house, and you can extend it out and start your tchum from there, right? So why is this worse than bourgeoning? Because, I mean, it's bourgeoning is certainly smaller than 4x4. So why can't it be counted as a bourgeoning? Don't count it as a house. I mean, it doesn't say anything about house in here. As a matter of fact, it doesn't need to be a house. Why is this worse than bourgeoning? The filuk of bourgeoning lo mashvina lei, my time. That's because a hide of the size of a hide works as a hive. But a house the size of less than 4x4 doesn't work as a house. So something that is a usable area works, but something that is not a usable area doesn't work. So a Burgen in its chozul miltayu, it's good for what it's meant to be. And this thing, which is meant to be a house, is not good. It doesn't work for what it's meant to be. And therefore, a high low chozul miltayu. Okay, next thing you said is that if you have brothers that inherited a thing like this, or they were partners, then they don't split it because it doesn't have arba amas. Excuse me, that makes no sense. You're telling me the reason that it can't be split is because it doesn't have 4 amas by 4 amas. But if it did have 4 amas by 4 amas, then you could split it. That's wrong. Vatanan. It's got to be 4x4 for each one of the partners. So what are you telling me? If it doesn't have 4x4, that's not true. Even if it had 4x4, you wouldn't be able to be Mekhayev a guy to split it. If it isn't big enough, each one of partner has to have 4x4. So what do you mean exactly? Ela ema, sorry. What I meant was not that you don't split it. I meant in bodin chaluka. It should say bechatzer, probably. So, ein bo din chaluka bechatzer. What is the din chaluka bechatzer? Well, when you're coming to split a chatzer, how exactly do you split it when this is a chatzer that has homes in it? So, there we have a machlokas. Okay, Rav Huna says, look, basically, a home that has two different entrances and another home that has one entrance, the home with two entrances gets 2/3 of the chatzer. The home with one entrance gets 1/3 of the chatzer. Basically, we split the number of entrances to the homes throughout the chatzer. Whereas Rav Chisda says, no, that makes no sense. All you need is for every entry to have a driveway. So you provide a driveway for every entry. But then the rest of it is split evenly according to the number of homes. Why would we give the entire chatzer this size according to the number of entryways? I do understand that, of course, an entryway needs a place for you to put your car up and unload and so on. That's true. But it doesn't mean the whole chatzer is based on that. So whatever the din is, Rav Chisda says you give each petach 4 amot outside of the entryway over there, but the remainder, chokino shom b'shove. So whatever approach you hold, I don't care. I mean, I don't care if it's Rav Huna or Rav Chisda, but the point is that it does make a difference whether something is a home with an entry. So according to Rav Chisda, the question would be, is this considered to be a home that requires a driveway? Answer, no. According to Rav Huna, is this a home that gets part of the chatzer because it's one entry? No, because it's not arba al arba. And that would be the case. Well, we're saying that it's ein bo din chaluka b'chatzer. It's nothing to do with who gets what. It's a question that this is not considered to be home at all. So the reason for this is the hanimile buy it, the lamahavi koi yahivnale. A house which is your property and is destined to actually be part of this chatzer and not just here today and gone tomorrow. This thing, hi, Dilamistarkoi, the only thing it's here for is demolition. This thing is not going to be around for long. No one's going to keep a closet of 7x7 in a chutzer clean somebody's living in. It's ridiculous. And because of that, it makes no sense to give the chutzer because this guy happened to build a closet there. Lo yavin my chutzer, because it's Lamistarkoi. And that would be the reason for each one of these things. Either it's the pasuk or it's just an understanding of what the whole meaning was in the Rabbanan. I just want to point out to you, there's a big machlokas we've shown him about whether it makes any sense at all to talk about an inheritance of an area that already was built in this fashion, that we should say that it should go according to the Petachim. Because, I mean, whatever it was, it was. I mean, why, if you inherit separately the chatzer and the homes, so it doesn't really make all that much sense that you go according to the Petachim or that the Shutafim should, like, I mean, we bought the property together. So why are you telling me what? I would split the chatzer according to the number of entrances because I happen to have more entrances than you. It doesn't make any sense. So some learn that we're only talking about over here where actually the construction took place afterwards. And then the issue is over there, whether that is considered to be part of the chaluk of the property up front. Okay, but anyway, there's a lot of discussion about this issue. When would we say this idea of being mechalik? It's not necessarily true that under any and all circumstances, this would be the din chalukah.